Blog Talk Radio.
I can do what I want, I'm in complete control. That's what I tell myself. I got a mind of my own, I'll be alright alone. Don't need anybody else. I gave myself a good talking to. Know my being a fool for you. I remember how you make me wanna surrender. Damn your eyes, they're taking my breath away, for making me wanna stay. For getting my hopes up high, making me fall in love again. Damn your eyes. Always the same, you say that you change. Somehow you never do. I believe all your lies, that look in your eyes. You make it all seem true. I guess I see what I wanna see. Or is my heart just deceiving me? With that look I know so well, I fall completely under your spell. Damn your eyes, taking my breath away, making me wanna stay. Damn your eyes, forgetting my hopes up high, making me fall. My breath away, making me wanna stay. Damn your eyes, forgetting my hopes up high, making me fall in love again. Damn your
dead air.
Well, you're hello. Supposed to, you're supposed to be talking. Yeah.
I thought there was going to be I don't know. Welcome to the show. This is Off the Rack, and I'm your host, Raconteur. Yeah. I thought there was I don't know. I'm used to things getting done, happening all by themselves. You know, and it's choices. I enjoy that song a lot because, you know, it brings about the idea of how the ripple effect of some of the choices we make, and I almost want to say the illusion of being in control, because, you know, choices can be influenced and decisions that we make aren't always, you know, sometimes we think we're making them based on, you know, other decisions, and, you know, we choose to ignore things, and it's a lovely word and a complex thought that just turns into a really philosophical debate, I guess. It's one of those things we could probably talk about all night long if we really tried. And I'm going to try and get to poetry rather than talk about it all night, but we will be talking about it for sure, because, you know, that's the choice I'm making. That's one of the things. Anyway, back to Team of Voices, and, you know, we're a group on allpoetry.com. You can find us there. It's totally free to join. What else do we usually say about that? I've got Pretty Bird on the line. She's helping me with the studio tonight because I'm blind as a bat and can't do stuff on my own anymore. A lot of fun where that's concerned. Hey, Pretty Bird.
Hey, hello, hello. And just a little insight to that opening song, that is Damn Your Eyes, originally done by Etta James in 1988. It was on her two compilation albums, the Gold album and the 7-Year Itch album. That version is by Alex Clare. He is a British artist. Little known here, he had one hit that was wonderful, and I can't remember what it is. I think it's Too Far. I could be wrong. Too Close. The exact opposite is the name of that song. That's what he's famous for. But his version, which is the one you heard, came out in 2018. and it's still a very relevant topic of discussion, because, you know, you think you're going to do one thing, and then that they look at you with that face, and then something else happens.
You know, it's weird because, you know, you're still making the choice, but, you know, you're allowing someone to influence it. So at some point in life, you know, I always wonder that, you know, did they decide to do it because I influenced it, or did they decide to do it on their own? Because, you know, I don't want to be the one to influence someone's thoughts like that, you know, that's disingenuous and it's destined to fall apart because, you know, it, God forbid, it's not the choice that they would have made otherwise, you know. It's one of those things that you want to try and be neutral, but you can't be neutral because then you're seen as being indifferent or you don't care, and it turns into a different ball of crap. So it's annoying. But you know, and you know,
sorry, because as usual I have a lag, so my mouth just wants to run all over everybody. I was going to say there's always the notion that if they didn't want to do it, they wouldn't do it. And if you're not planting seeds for nefarious things, if you're not putting, like, are you sure that's why? And then they're going to contemplate it and lose their mind over a simple choice that now, what if all of these other possibilities that other people thought are real? And then, you know, you go crazy. But if you're not being nefarious about it and you're close to this person, whether it's a friend or a relationship or whatever, then I don't think that's an undue influence if somebody values your opinion. But that is just me. And we have callers. Say hello, hello to Sweet Tea and AP Taylor.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
I didn't know there was a board meeting tonight.
We should probably also say hi to Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Sweet Tea. How you doing?
Hi. Hi, Sky.
I'm good.
Hello.
How was your Easter? I hope the rabbit didn't die.
Oh, I think I jacked
the rabbit
old
died
now.
Years ago.
Yeah, they
well,
eat so funny.
I have fun taking eggs because I still have little staying out with, and my eggs were very fancy, very sparkly.
I do bubbles.
I had a very interesting egg. Bubbles?
Yeah, there was a line that Rodney Dangerfield hot tub.
Oh, yes.
Anyway. Wrong
oh,
night.
Bubbles with a four-year-old. Be good.
Yeah.
Bubbles was Michael Jack Pansy, so, you know, there's that.
There was that. So, as most of y'all know, I've got a bunch of kids, right? So I have a little one. The youngest one is 12, so we do eggs. So my 12-year-old and my 16-year-old were doing eggs because my 17-year-old was like, I'm not doing eggs, and he's outside doing stuff in the yard. And so we did all the eggs. Even my oldest was like, hey, I'll do some eggs. So we did all the eggs. The other one said he didn't want eggs. I wasn't going to force him to do eggs. He's like, but there are no eggs. So while he was taking a shower, I had to boil an extra 6 eggs so that he could make eggs. So they all made eggs this year for the first time. I don't know how long.
Is that a thing in Australia, AP? Do you guys hide Easter eggs?
Yes, we do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have buckets and stuff, and we go after them. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know why I think it would be different. It's not like, you know, Thanksgiving. But anyway.
It's the same. So there you go. So it's a thing. It is definitely a thing.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of something more like Christmas, where other countries call it Boxing Day, and they, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Okay. So Easter's gone, and, you know, we're further on in the season, and we're talking about choices tonight, and, you know, I almost want to bring up the ripple effect, too, of the choices that we make from the moment we, you know, wake up and decide if we're going to go back to sleep or not, you know, because, you know, our presence in other people's lives changes their lives and all kinds of things like that. So the far-reaching effects of the choices that we make, it's one of those things that just, you know, we could probably really go crazy talking about it. and tie it into a whole ton of stuff, you know, between decisions and sometimes the choices are even taken away from us and you know, we want to be in control, this need to be in control that we all have. And, you know, well, you know, if you decide to pay a bill and there's no money to pay the bill, your choice is kind of taken away from you at that point. So you got to choose how to deal with it. So it's really, really a interesting thought. But so I'm sure we've got a bunch of great poems about this stuff and how the choices affect our lives. That opening thought about, you know, damn your eyes, you know, that seems to affect the way that, you know, it tied into Sweet Pea's quote the other week a little bit about how you look at someone, you know, and you know, the way that it kind of affects you. That's a very true thing too. And, you know, I almost want to say it can influence someone's choice. You know, I've melted. I can't deny that. I've been melted a few times by that look, not hers specifically, but you know, that's just one of those things that I guess men are susceptible to. Well, everyone, I guess, is susceptible to it, not just men, but you know, I've been accused of having puppy dog eyes. So anyway, I think Sky's got a poem I was thinking about opening with. It's kind of a long one. It's right under the bus, Sky, because you know you're the one with bedtime.
Well, no, I just wrote on the board. I don't want to go first.
Oh, okay. I was just going to suggest that because you're usually the one in the time crunch. So we probably got AP on a time crunch.
We moved up to 10. I'll be here till about 11:15-ish.
I won't hold you to that because you usually choose to stay later because you get wrapped up in what we're doing. So, anyway,
no, I really gotta go. I'm putting my foot down. I always say that, and then I'm butterfly.
Anyway, I'm sorry, AP. We keep talking over you when you're trying to say. You are in a time crunch, yes?
Yeah. I am a little bit, unfortunately, but
not a problem. Not a problem. We'd get you read.
Okay. Now, before I do this, I wanted to note that Eminem, with the song Rap God, is the holder of the world record for singing or rapping 1,560 words in 6 minutes.
Wrong. Wrong.
28 words per second. Oh, here we go.
Wrong.
Correction.
Wrong.
Correction.
Maybe he at one point held the record, and this that you're going to quote happened after it. So
I will correct you afterwards.
Please.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I hate to be so right.
Good.
Who's the record holder at currently? Was that Sweet saying it or Sky?
Yes, it was me. I personally know the individual that just recently broke his record. His young man by the name of Ian Taylor. It's called Record. Yes, he just broke it. He's out of Colorado Springs. He's a personal friend of mine, and it's called Record Breaker. Look him up. Ian Taylor.
Okay.
Funny his name. No relation, I imagine.
No relation. I'm glad to hook you guys up with that.
So you would say Eminem had a record for the number of...
But I will acknowledge that Eminem is the greatest rapper on the planet. I just want to know that my boy just broke that record. Sorry, AP.
No. Julie corrected. Let's see how long this one takes me, and then I'll compare with how I've gone with all of the people really cleverly. And I've got the stopwatch ready to go, and it's about 200 words, so we'll see. Here we go. And it goes a little bit like this. Choice is confusing as between one and another, starting with whether there are constraints to uncover. Almost always and not often funny, because many of those choices are directed by money. There's not growing a tree that it might, and if it did, what denomination would work right?
closest equivalent forgeries of banknotes knew, and the choice is the 20 with three expertise in Peru. And that choice is poor, one thing all being equal, as far too often jail as the sequel. See with one choice often results to next, which is connected, and then train has effects, not just one of choice one, but carriages two and three, which go to affect things by degree, and things we know about from Dr. Seuss, choices to made for games, well past Mother Goose. But no choice of a thing named three, unless talking of an arcane game from history. So to conclude, choice to history and connected from a game or book where once intersected, well, we make choices every moment we wake, and that's part being human. Nobody can fake. End poem.
Wow. You got a little of everything in there. And I wasn't expecting you to do it, you know, like that style. That was pretty cool. You know, I've heard you read, you know.
It still wasn't as quick as even Eminem, much less our new winner. I would have had to have done that poem in 43 and a half seconds to match Eminem.
And yeah, but you could do something. You could do something he'd never do, and that's backwards. So there's that.
That's true. I was a good 20% slower than Eminem. So, and that's even before, you know, we have Sweet's new person who's even quicker. So I apologize. I wasn't quick.
We still love you, AP. Don't worry about it. You know, the thing I like about, you know, you know, super on topic and, you know, it's hard to do with something that's as broad as something like choices because, you know, we've got everything in how it affects other people and things like that, and sometimes it's not our fault and our choice, and it's really something that makes my mind spin, which is why I picked it. So that was really great. What'd you think, Sweet?
I think you're slamming. I think this is awesome. I love the poem. I love the entire message of it. While we make choices every moment we wake, that's part of being human. Nobody can fake. First off, you're a much better writer than most people I know. So I like your soothing, calm voice, not just spitting it. So I prefer the AP voice. So keep it the way it is. Don't be screaming at me or spitting at me, please.
No.
I like this. And I like the things that we know from Dr. Seuss, choices made for games, well past Mother Goose. I love that stanza. And
yeah,
I really like it. I love how you did the whole thing. I mean, choices confusing us between one and another, starting with whether there are constraints to uncover. Most rappers can't even understand the words you're using, let alone how you use them. So A++, and way to go.
Thank you.
You know, the other beautiful thing about that, too, is, you know, writing is very much, you know, a lot of choices that we make. Like you mentioned, word choices. So, you know, again, I appreciate it for that as well. That some people don't notice sometimes when we write, you know, the choices that we make, words that we use, the emotions that they bring out. So that's a great little aspect of that as well. Sky, what'd you think?
Thank you.
I thought it was really clever, and I liked the pace of it. It was very, very lyrical and rhythmic in it. I wouldn't say lyrical, but rhythmic, and I guess that's kind of saying a tribute to that piece, which I think is brilliant, by the way. I think it's fascinating. He definitely sings really quick. But again, I do like the twist in words and how you speak of choices. And at the end, you know, you wrap it up. We do every moment. And just like Rack said, and just like you're putting into this piece, choices are every moment of our day. And it's just about where we're going to go. And I like it. I like how fast-paced it is, too. Definitely touches on many aspects of one's choices and where they're kind of going. And I did like that. I know that Sweet Pea already said it, but I did like the Doctor and the Mother Goose, a little bit of a play.
Yeah.
Really well done, AP. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Pretty Bird.
Yes, so I had a little bit of drama being kicked off and silently coming back on. So. But I did hear the poem, so we are good there. I love how this could have just been the entire intro, because you touched on the whole choice of money versus no money. You touched on the whole ripple effect of, where is it? Now I can't even find it, but you did. It's in here somewhere. And
good choice.
Yeah. And I love that it's a whole story with excellent flow, and you did a great job of running through it like that, where I would have fallen all over my very heavy tongue. So that was really, really excellent. And it's almost kind of, you have like this really light way about it when you're going through there, where there was no, like, I just talked with too much air is what it is. Here. See, with one choice, often results the next. Which is connected, and then the resulting train has effects. And I love that you kind of, in this one piece, touched on everything that the entire show is about, and that is freaking brilliant. So, awesome.
Thank you. Pretty good.
You're very welcome.
See, I almost didn't choose to make you go first, and you proved that it was the better choice, which, you know, is the other thought about behind choices, you know, bad choice. Some people make bad choices, and I was prevented from making one because Sky didn't want to go first, so.
Random thought, Rack, to see how quick it was that those rappers go, because I was listening to a lot of rap last night, and I just couldn't believe how quickly they get their words out, and it's just remarkable. And so, that's, as I said, that was 20% slower than the person now who's not the fastest. Like, good Lord, you know, how they do it.
Yeah, I like voices and speech and things like that, but I think that might be what keeps me away from rap, because I know there's no way, you know, I could get it out that fast the way that I want to enunciate and pronounce and pause.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's no way I could blah, 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 you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm more of a Sugar Hill Gang kind of rapper.
Have you ever went over a friend's healthy eating the food today? Okay. Perfect.
I don't mean to brag. I don't mean to boast. I put butter on my breakfast toast.
Well, I will listen to Ian, and I will take my leave, Rack. So thank you, and we will talk again, certainly, surely, soon.
Have a good evening or afternoon.
Again, thank you, everybody.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, choices.
So who is next?
It's too soon for Sky. You want to wait, or you want to go, or you want to throw CP under the bus? I got two tonight. So you play one of the SoundClouds. Play Forever. Play Forever.
Okay. I can do that.
That's
well,
a, that's
no
a different
Forever, actually. There's
oh.
Fall in Love.
Yeah, that one. Similar thought,
okay.
But different execution.
Okay, so it is on the board, and as soon as I find it, we will...
There is no forever. I like that statement. There is no forever.
I can't
Let's be
find that.
Well, that's a good
okay.
thing.
Okay, where is it? Here we are. To fall in love.
To fall in love by Raconteur. You ripped through my life like a clap of thunder, shook me up and left me asunder, a lid on my hand but a moment in time, then you were gone, disappeared, not a sign. Left me lost in thought, sweet memories of you, nothing left to say, nothing I could do. Never love another the way that I loved you. if only you'd decide to fall in love. I didn't find you, rather you found me, with a promise of how happy and close we could be. But now I stand lost, bereft of life, wounds still fresh from the cut of the knife. Bitter I sound, bitterness in me, crushed by the thought of how it could be. Do you know how to fall in love? Why won't you give in? It's not like it's a sin. All I want is you to fall in love. Did I really treat you that bad? Did I ever make you that sad? Why don't you want to fall in love? God, help me to survive. I've lost my will to stay alive. If only you'd give in and fall in love. Thought I had you, never did, and probably never will. Just a free spirit, now freer still. Tried to catch you, your dreams fulfill. The fool I am, I never will. You really don't want to fall in love. Yours the desire, a need to be free. You want to be apart from me. Still, I think of you and smile with glee. I remember how things used to be. Together then, but you didn't see. I really thought you'd fallen for me. I'd hoped you'd fallen in love with me. End poem.
Oh, you know, Rax, you have a way of tapping into things I want to forget in my life. So, as always, thanks. You know, there's something horrendous that about being ghosted, or even before everything was electric, just, you know, being ignored. It is a heartless act, and it really, what does it take to be like, I don't want to talk to you, goodbye, you know? I mean, something where it doesn't leave you wondering or waiting and contemplating and the pain of, well, maybe they were, you know, emergencies happened and I shouldn't be mad, and then, you know, time passes and whatever. It puts you in a state. And then, of course, it's this sadness, and you kind of grieve the loss of a relationship, regardless of whether that relationship ever really had a future and had a future the way you saw it. And so that just kind of makes you not be able to trust you.
Did you drop? Or is my phone about to drop?
Well, we can hear you.
Okay.
We're having a pretty bird.
She may have dropped. Because that was like mid-sentence. My phone usually does that when it's about to die. It's like all of a sudden everything goes dead. I'm like, hello? And then bloop.
I think that may have been what happened to our pretty bird. Oh, no, that's what you just said, Walk-talk hates her. Well, I don't hate you. It hates her.
Until she gets back, can I make a comment, please?
Yes,
yes.
Of course, Scott.
Well, I thought this was just terribly heartbreaking.
Hello.
Rock, you know, is she back?
I'm back.
I think she's back. You tried to flow the blood of poop.
Blog Talk hates me tonight, but yeah, there's something just thoughtless and heartless about people that have no consideration, because how much could they have really cared? And then that messes with your mind too. So you really just dug in, didn't you? So guys, since you had already, you know, filled the gap of my absence, please comment.
I was trying to jump in there. Yeah, I thought this was just terribly heartbreaking, and you know, I love this Kurt Lawler, but I hate it too. Like, I love the word.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Is who's playing music? Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
It wasn't me.
It was Eminem.
I don't know where I am now.
I'm a terrible
person to to redirect my thoughts. Okay, so I thought this was an excellent piece. And the Hurt Locker, like I said, the word the expression, the poetry, beautiful, you know, but it just rips out my heart and drudges it through the mud, and I'm just like, oh, my God. It's like a love-hate relationship I have with that folder. But this was beautiful, Rack. I thought it was very, you know, in raw with the speaker, and it has an honesty to it that's just so beautiful. I love the added of the questions, because I feel like, you know, when you start asking these questions, you start giving them to no one or someone, and even to yourself. You know, we all do that. We all, every one of us, you know, start to question pretty much every moment or everything and every instance, our own feelings, other people's feelings. We're such insecure creatures, and we can't help it, and we're curious creatures. So when you mix those two together, that insecurity and that curiosity and that why, that question, why is it, you know, there it can be almost encircling in that, and when we keep going around in those questions, because we just cannot understand the choices of other people, or you know any of those things. And I thought it was, again, I liked how it read like a kind of like a personal, I guess, when somebody's kind of just processing and, you know, internally, but also putting these things out there. I think that was done in that really well in that venue, really well done.
Yeah, the idea was kind of approaching love more like a decision than an emotion. And, you know, emotions aren't logical, so it's not something that is easily, I want to say, successful. So, you know, I don't know how successful I was with it, but thank you.
And sweetness, it's your turn.
You comment first, and then you can read your poem. You
need I
to get out
reading my
first,
poem. I'm not done.
Anymore. Oh, you see how you are.
Are you Brooks?
Sorry. I've got like 4 lines up to this poem. I don't know how to end it. I hate that. I'm like, I don't know what to end it with. Isn't that awful? You have to feel for me. Well, first off, I hate the Hurt Locker. It makes me cry. And it makes me fall in love, and then it makes me cry. And I don't like that. Why won't you give in? It's not like it's sin. All I want is you to fall in love. Of course you do, because then you want to stab me in the heart. Still, I think of you and a smile. We can remember how things used to be. I really thought you'd fall in for me. I hope you fall in love with me. Of course you did. No, that didn't happen. No, I can't fall in love. Tell them I was the warmest place you knew, and that you turned me cold, because that's what the Hurt Locker does to me. God, I love this poem. Thank you, Rack and Toro, once again, for dragging me through the Hurt Locker. And I will spend the rest of the evening picking the little bits of razor blades out of my skin. Well done, sir. Well done.
Is your poem more up with the sky?
Yeah, mine is a love story.
Are you ready to read, Sky?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so, you know, high maintenance.
You're not.
I am ready.
I'm encouraging you.
Just wasn't right. I don't like to be the first. All right, especially because this is like an obscure way. So I thought that this would be good, because what I think of choices, I've been doing a lot of things with, like, ancestry and heritage and things like that. I've been really into that lately. And one thing I do have on my mom's side, I have a lot, a good, a rich handle on you know, that venue of things and that way of things. But I also have, like, I've always had, like, a really close relationship with my mimir, even though she died when I was 3. But I have her poetry book. I have so much. I have all her writings and her stories. And she's always been someone, and she's the reason why I started writing when I was 11. You know, even our handwriting is, like, pretty much very close to each other. And she died when I was 3, but I always felt very close to her. So it always amazed me. So I have her journal. And it basically journals since the minute she met my grandfather, actually. The day that she met him is in her journal. There was stuff before it. And then throughout it goes through their dates and their anniversaries for years and years and years until my mother was like, 9 or 10, and fifteen, I think, and then my grandfather, I don't know when it started. Anyway, but it's like years and years, and I just think that the idea of choices. So when you think about how many choices it took for you to be here, like how many people had to meet and make choices that they were going to be together or that they're going to go out together, or you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go out for ice cream, I'm going to go from here. And for you to exist, I don't know, maybe I'm just like really pulling this, but that's what I've been really obsessed with lately, so that's what we're going with. Is that a good introduction? Can I start reading now?
If you so choose.
Yeah, okay, so this is called... So this is the actual notebook, the picture of it. And so this is actually my grandmother's, the notebook that she has. And there's a little excerpt at the bottom. And I basically took her journal over many entries and wrote like this poem of that journey that I got to go on with. So Tumblr number 37460, The Story of Art and Marie. 1. The Lorien pages and journals, I travel back in time through loops of cursives within Browning Tumblr 80-leaf notebook number 37460, addressed Morton Street, Lawrence, Mass. It is titled The Story of My One and Only True Love and Me, engraved with a message, Art, I am yours as before, love you, and only you, you, you. 2. A Brief History. He was a veteran of 32, black hair and hazel eyes, an English mother and Irish father, first-generation American. She was a poet of 24, the youngest of 9, daughter of Alphonse, an immigrant from Rimouski, Canada, and Sarah, first-generation American, daughter of French-Canadian stonemason, and his wife, Dahlia, from Three Rivers, Canada. On Memorial Day, 1953, the lives of the poet and vet would forever be entwined. 3. Saturday, May 30th, 1953. At 6 p.m., there was a telephone ring, the voice of the vet on the line, asking the poet to go dancing at Cannibal Lake Park. The poet only met the vet earlier that day, and though she was quite taken, she told him she could not, as she could not dance, which was true. Instead, they attended an outdoor movie with the poet's brother Leo and his wife. Later that evening, the poet admitted in journal, "Do I love his eye?" 4. Sunday, May 31st, 1953. An afternoon filled with leisurely drive, a walk in Cannibal Lake, watching strangers roller skate, a visit to the poet's sister Yvonne's house to celebrate an early birthday for their mother. And after a bit of television and cake, the poet and the vet took a drive, first to the poet's house, then to the vet. The vet house was freshly painted and wallpapered, but the furniture he had ordered hadn't arrived yet. His mother lived upstairs in the upstairs apartment. The two hadn't known it yet, but this would be the home they'd raise their 4 children in. 5. Tuesday, June 2nd, 1953. A visit from the vet leads to an afternoon of records, a surprise first kiss, with a quick Marie to gain attention. But the poet was not angry, for she thought him polite, and later that evening wrote in journal, "Gee, I think he's nice." 6. A series of courting. Wednesday, June 3rd. A day out with the vet's brother Leo and Ruth, ice cream at Glennie, a drive with just the two, and a stop, evening's entry. It was then he gave me his first kiss.
A little weird to read from your grandmother, but it's fine. Thursday, June 4th, the poet and the vet are unable to meet. Journal entry. Gee, I miss him. Friday, June 5th, a date is made. Journal entry. Gee, I wish it were tomorrow. Saturday, June 6th, a ride through Andover and ice cream at Glennie. Journal entry. Gee, I hope he likes me. Monday, June 7th to July 4th weekend. Outdoor movies and portable radios, gifts of apple pie, mixed nuts, and red roses, a handkerchief from Luxembourg, Germany, a small box of chocolate wrapped inside a jewelry box that played Stardust, fireworks at Cannibal Lake, visit to Providence Town, Cape Cod, and, of course, ice cream at Glennie. Journaling entry. I'm afraid I have it bad, and that ain't good. Or is it? 7. July 9th, 1953. This is the day the vet would give the poet a box of chocolate. But this was, in fact, not just any box. Inside was one that looked like maple, larger than all the rest. It was a jewel box, and inside was a white gold engraved ring, one large diamond set between two smaller ones. They were married September 19th that same year on the poet's birthday. 8. Many years into the future. Set on the hand of my mother is a ring her father once gave a poet, a ring that has its own story written in love's hand, and in the browning pages of a tumbler 80-leaf notebook, number 3746B, the story of Art and Marie.
Okay. Wow. That's gorgeous. I like that you took it from the journal and turned it into a vignette. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. In the beginning, you know, it very much enforced the idea of choices, too. I forget what exactly you said. It was like right in the beginning, like the second or third line, where you're talking about his decision to contact her or something. I don't remember exactly what you said, but, you know, it was very much that idea to me. And you know, there's little choices made throughout the whole piece that, you know, aren't exactly – central to the story, but you know, it's the idea of choices, you know, for tonight, as opposed to the emotion I could be talking about too, you know, and that's another thing, you know, choices lead to different feelings and emotions, and sometimes you're influenced by them, you know, you make mention of grandma liking his eyes and things like that, you know, that may or may not have influenced her feelings and her reactions and her choices, but you know, it's just one of those things. It's funny. It makes me think of things like, you know, if someone, you know, tries to steal a kiss, if they're cute, it's okay, you know, you kind of go with it, but if they're ugly, they get arrested. So, you know.
That's drastic. Arrested.
Well, you know, it's a trip to HR, you know. It's like you're getting fired. It's the whole nine yards. You can't be doing that stuff. But, you know, if they're cute, you're like, you know, yeah, well, you know, it anyway, but I mean, the whole piece, it was really beautiful. And it's nice to have that history that you could look back on, you know, and to know the history of the ring even, you know, that's gorgeous. You know, it's funny, too, because the style that you described is similar to something that I would pick, too. So it's very, very relatable in a lot of ways. And the other thing, you know, you knew she was a poet, and you've got the books and things that back it up, but you could tell by some of the journal entries that, you know, this is something that a poet would write, you know, the way that she says some things, you know, I wish it were tomorrow, you know, that's a poet statement, you know, no normal person is going to be like, yeah, I wish it were tomorrow. That's like, you know, someone philosophizing about, you know, what is to be, what is to come. Anyway, I really enjoyed it very much. It was like, almost like meeting your family a little bit, but you know, it speaks to the influence and everything too of it. And, you know, the choices that were made that, you know, to wind up where you are, like you mentioned. So yeah, it was stunning. I enjoy your work a lot, you know that. So this is a beautiful example of that.
Thank you, Rex.
And you were worried about it being too long. Sweet Pea, did that feel too long to you?
No, not at all. It was a beautiful story. I was enthralled. I was like, oh, and what happens next? And what's she going to do and what date do they go on? And I mean, it's just, you know, I think it's a beautiful part of history that you have. And I love to hear the stories. And I love, you know, what happened next. And, you know, was there rose and was there this? And, you know, I'm waiting for swing sets and lemonade. And just the fact that you get to call her a poet and all of this. And, you know, I want to know what kind of dress she had. And was it their pearls? And was, I want more detail and more story, because, you know, that's just a beautiful way of telling a story. And I know that you have great, you know, imagery and detail, and you did such a beautiful way. I'm waiting for the book. Just FYI.
How you doing, pretty bird?
I'm nerding out over the DeLorean pages because that's just brilliant, and I'm just stuck circa, you know, mid-80s, because that's just my life. So I fabulous flipping opening, you know, with you traveling back in time to those journals, but you just dig right in, because that is just fabulous. There's a delicate way you write this, and there's a softness in your voice when you read it, like you travel back in time, picturing it all, and you take us with you for that ride. I will say this, I am loving how often she says G, because you don't. And so that's very time-stamped and innocent and fabulous. I love the do I love his eyes. But yes. And not that it was a question, it was a statement, but still, yes, we do. And my favorite part is, back in the day, people don't play. 6 weeks, done. Take in, here's a ring, let's go. I mean, now, you know, 6 years and you're lucky, you know?
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, wow, that's really fast.
Whirlwind romance, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I was thinking.
But it's awesome. I mean, when you know, you know. You know, if there's nothing standing in your way, if you've got, you know, you got to love first love. I mean, I'm sure at 32, he may not have been hers, but, I mean, she may not have been his, but it definitely sounds like she is love with this guy. And he knew 6 weeks, guys don't ever know anything, not for nothing. Testosterone sucks for you people. Okay, you know, they get confused by a lot of shit. But in 6 weeks, he's like, here, this, here. And I love that it almost feels like they saw each other every single chance they got. You know, it kind of makes you miss a time before electronics. Like, even in the 80s, when they were, like, partial electronic, you know, where
beepers.
You had all this time to actually, you know, interact face-to-face, like, in person with, like, the people, like, in the real, where it's not these phantom versions of yourself. And it's to actually go out of your way to do that, to go across town to the house, to go and spend time together, and all of the innocence of outdoors and chaperones and all that stuff. You want to go through all that on a regular basis. And she's like, I miss him. You just saw him yesterday, but that's beautiful. You know, that's such a lovely, lovely thing to be pulled that close together so quickly. And there was never a question. There was just, it's just this kind of this flow of fate, and it is a beautiful thing. And speaking of fate, you kind of wonder where that plays into choices. And when it comes to the energy that we share with people and where we're pulled to people, is that really a choice? I mean, could you really deny a pull if do you want to be somewhere else? And are you really somewhere else if your mind is stuck where you should be in the first place? And so, you know, what is the choice really other than, you know, a set of circumstances? You know? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Back to you.
Thank you.
The other thing about it too, what little I know about girl talk, you know, the big question, how did he propose? You've got that documented in there, and you could tell the story of her proposal. So that's also a beautiful bit of history that you can tell. And, you know, it comes with the ring too. You know, it's like if you're handing it down from family to family, that's like, you know, his grandma's ring. You know, to me, that was when my grandma passed away. I heard that her wedding ring represents a happy marriage. I'm like, I wanted a ring. I don't remember what happened to it. All I know is I didn't get it. So, you know, That's why I got divorced, because I didn't get grandma's ring. Anyway. Sorry.
No, it's definitely true, and they both died very, very young, very young. My Pippa died before I was born, and my Mimma died when I was two and a half, three. And so, my mother and her had a really close relationship, and she was always very present, and like I said, I have pretty much all her written work, I've always felt really close to her. So it is very true that it is like going through, and it was kind of funny because I had had her poetry and some of her work since I was little, but that specific journal, along with several other books, were in a basement, and I didn't find them till this year. It was the end of last year. I can't remember if it was before Christmas or after Christmas. No, it had to be last year. So towards the end of last year. So it was like I got to visit all over again, a whole new, different way. I think it was the end of last year sometime. My mother had sold her house because her husband died, and a lot of her stuff was in my brother's basement. And it was like the strangest thing. My brother was like, "Oh, Mom wanted you to me to give you Mimir's silverware set, her sterling silverware set. She said you're supposed to have that, and it's in the basement, so come down and I'll grab it." And she's like, "It's in some kind of suitcase." I'm like, "Oh, I know what kind of box it's in." So we're looking for the silverware set, and he pulls out this random suitcase, and it's just full of books. And it was more of my grandmother's writing. And he was like, "Oh, well, she'll probably want you to have this too, so take it, and so it doesn't stay down here." And I called my mom, and I'm like, "Did you know you had this?" And she's like, "Oh, I forgot all about that." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm keeping it. Thanks."
It's mine now.
Anyway.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yes.
That was an awesome bit of history. And it's very relatable to, you know, the mementos, the pieces of our family that, you know, you kind of want to hang on to. That's, you know, in their own words, it's almost like sitting in their lap and talking to them. You know, there's questions you want to ask that you can't, so you're kind of locked into their soundtrack that they decided that they were going to share, but it's still, you know, along the lines of, you know, what you want to know. You're on that path. It's still some kind of an answer, so that's just beautiful. I'm jealous. My family's gone. It's all mystery. It's all like, you know, hearsay and innuendo and nonsense. But anyway, Pretty Bird, what'd you bring? 7/10 split?
I did, but we have Angel to read. We have Kay's audio, and Sweetie is ready. So your choice.
My choice. Oh, thanks a lot. Healthy choice. Let's talk cat food. No. Is that cat food or dog food? Healthy. Never mind.
That's actually people food, but okay.
Healthy choice? That's a brand of animal food.
Healthy
no, it's
choice
a brand of
a
frozen
like little,
food.
Little
for
small portions. Yeah. I think it's choice select or select choices. It's cat food, something like that.
Food, yes.
Okay. I swear, Healthy Choice is a brand of cat food. I could see it, the wet cat food. I could see the can in my brain.
It is.
It's yellow.
It is. It's also a cat food. That's funny. Yeah.
the frozen food came out after the cat food. I'm almost 100% sure of that. But anyway, let's read. Who wants to read for Angel?
I put me on the board.
Oh, okay. Well, you put you on the board. I thought Deb and AP put you on the board. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just put me on the board. All right. Here goes nothing. This is optimistic determination. Charred remnants of yesterday's love songs blow hot in the dry heat of the desert winds. Vultures devour the embers of lost notes in midair. Shadows seek refuge, hiding in sunlight glare. Smiles of liars kiss the hands of ladies and whores. Gentlemen to strangers and madmen behind closed doors. Fragile interjections of language inflections twist the complexion of conversational complexions, creating chaos in motion, leaving the mind full of unanswered questions. Narcissistic rationalization, optimistic determination, conductor of train wreck dreams, tears shining in the moonlight, you still dance until dawn in the arms of a morning star. And
wow, that's gorgeous. The line, the penultimate verse for Sky, was gorgeous. The mention of the conductor and that sequence really, really touched me. I don't know why. Obviously, but for me, very relatable. I enjoy the way that you write, and you know, we seem to have similar things that we go through, similar feelings and whatnot, which is, I think, why we tend to relate to each other. It's sad and heartbreaking at the same time. It's, wow. Choices. Yeah.
I've done mad stuff. Sorry. Spell check changed a word on me. It's not
complexity.
No. It should be conversational. Complexity is not complexion.
So is this morning star like the devil?
Bingo.
See, that's why I love you. First, the quote that you put up here, when you showed that to me, I don't know, a month ago, however long ago, I have it open. It's one of the tabs I have open, so I do not forget. And that way, every time I open AP, it's in my AP folder of tabs, and I absolutely love it. And I'll read it so that Rack can know what it says. It says, "You," she said, "are a terribly real thing in a terribly false world. And that, I believe, is why you're in so much pain." And I love that. It just breaks me. It just feels very personal. And this poem, by the way, is brilliant. Like, it's absolutely brilliant. It is pieces of everybody that's ever lived. And if to read a poem that you can put into your own reality is a very, you know, or it's like my own, like it's somebody else's reality is a very powerful thing. And it's kind of what I love about this particular art form. Smiles of liars kiss the hands of ladies and whores, a gentleman to strangers and madman behind closed doors. And that reminds me of my father. It reminds me of a lot of people, but it really reminds me of my father. But the neighborhood loved him. He was just the talk of the town. He was just charming. He'd all get out and smiled and laughed, and he would come home and be a drunken asshole. But, I mean, he's old now, so now he's, like, you know, calm and normal. But growing up, I was like, what the hell? I was like, you know, old people try to get into heaven, whatever. But it was very much this, and it's very hard to watch that, you know, to watch people be so charming to other people, and the ones that are supposed to love you treat you like crap, and like you're not good enough to be talked to like somebody they don't even know, and that wreaks havoc on your mental state, especially if you're young and don't realize that they're an asshole because they're an asshole, not because there's something wrong with you, you know. I absolutely love this. Fragile interjections of language, inflections, physical. You know, here's the thing about that verse. Are you ready? The bane of my existence is why I hate people. Because when you know somebody more than the other people know that person, and they're like, and people don't notice, and all of a sudden you know that was full condescension, and you want to kind of whack-a-mole them in the privates under the table. But everybody thinks that he's fabulous. Oh, look, he's so funny. Oh, really? Because he just absolutely dismissed me, and we're going to have words. This is over. Because I don't know about you, but I tend to not make a scene in front of other people, so it's not their business. But I do not forget.
whack-a-mole.
And so, you know, this spoke to me on many, many levels.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How about you, Sky?
I thought it was an excellent piece, and I liked the, I mean, there was lots of parts that I liked. I did like the Morning Star. It's been a long time since I heard that term, so I probably wouldn't have remembered. And then once Pretty Bird said it in that context, I'm like, oh, yeah, that is. He is called, or Lightbringer, Morning Star, that was. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember reading that one time. So thank you for bringing that in. And reminding me of that. And then this whole thing, this narcissist rationalization, optimist termination. Not every choice is good in life, you know? We make mistakes. We dust off our knees. And sometimes it's kind of like a, you know, which way you're going to go. And it's kind of like you took that idea of, you know, we're very fickle creatures, and like I said, we don't always make the best choices, but we are what we are, and hopefully eventually we learn from some of them at least. So I like how you kind of bring that in, and it's a little bit of chaos. It's a little bit of chaos. We definitely can just be stumbling around and just doing things, but it's beautiful in its own glory, you know. Really well done.
Thank you.
I'm stuck on Batman. All I hear is Jack Nicholson going, "Ever dance to the devil in the pale moonlight," and that's like all I hear, which is kind of perfect, you know.
Riddle me this.
Riddle me this.
Well, he, that whole last stanza, that you know, where you can't believe that they can't see what they're doing. And how it hurts you, and how they're the ones that are wrong, but it's like they don't want to face it. And there you are, the one that's hurt, having to pretend everything's okay. And really, what are your options at that point, especially if you love the person? You know, to work through it is a painful process. So you're stuck in that place until you get past or through that place. And it just captures that perfectly because you're, you know, it's kind of like, you have to pull the knife out yourself and really fuck the knife.
Oh,
PG-13, my bad.
You just dance and chill on in the arms of a morning star. That's all you do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Everything about them is there, but you chose to still stay for the dance.
That's rough. That's just one of those moments. Anyway, thanks for bringing the room down.
Oh, it's beautiful. There is no down. I put K up, by the way.
How long is she staying?
Who's staying where? What?
Never mind. You put her up, so. Anyway.
Sorry, my brain is slow.
Thank you, Sky. Thank you, Sky. I love you, Sky.
Is she leaving?
No, I just
want to
tell her I love her.
I said 11:15.
No,
and, my brain is like running at 100 miles an hour trying to connect these lines, so I may never get sleep tonight. So, but 11:15.
Thank you. Let's listen to our friend Kay.
And here she is.
Goblin of Offsides by Kay. Through the darkness, the traveler stopped. Shades to echoes of shadows burrowing, their frockings, lanterns, and clings, forlorn and wear, clothing like a quilt, dusty yet downward. In the distance, hummingbirds' echoes, etches air, a twill tickling blue skin sensations, scales twixt black and white days, dancing abruptly neath restless feet. As the ash of the earth weeps its turn, we too must frown in clemency of virtue. Programs of peace, foyers the gallery of spirit, and boons, towering, pitch black, and poem.
Well, oh, okay. Beautiful imagery as usual. let's start with CP. What'd you think?
I like the last line. As the ash of the earth weeps its turn, we must too found in clemency of virtue, programs of peace, warriors, the gallery of spirit, and moons tally pitch black. What beautiful words, such beautiful language she uses. But we do. These are things we must do. I just find that, you know, beautiful. She has quite the way. I also like in the distance hummingbirds echo etches air. I love some of the way she promotes her imagery. I just like that. I like that idea. Thanks, Kay. You put beautiful things in my brain, sometimes in a very dark, twisted way, but beautiful things in my brain.
You know, it almost makes me think a little about AP's poem, too, that he, the way he mentioned how, you know, sometimes, you know, one thought leads to another. So the decision, as I like to say, you know, it's kind of made for you, you know, based on, you know, this happening.
Right.
Well, that you know, and you know, anyway, that's my mind is warped. So, Sky, what'd you think of Kay's piece?
I thought it was excellent, and I do think Kay's choice. I mean, it's just a really series of choices. Am I going to have, from the moment we got in exactly, and what you were saying for the topic, I thought that was a really cool topic, by the way. But this, you know, through the darkness, the traveler stops, and then it goes through these details and a twill, tickling blue skin, senses scale, twixt black and white days. I really liked that idea. And it made me actually think of like choices being black and white as well. Kind of, I know it's probably not what she was thinking about when she wrote this. You know, I think this was, unless it was written, I don't know if it was written for the pop of itself, but it definitely layers in some of the ideas. And I like there was a little bit of darkness in it. There's a little bit of walking through the woods. And I think it does fit because, like I said, and like you said, these choices that we have, they're never ending. Really well done. They're frocking. She always has cool language. Very well done.
Thanks, Sky. And Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
Well, it kicked me off again, and I just squeezed back in, but I did hear the poem. That's all right. Black dog just hates my God. There is something lovely about the way she describes things. Clothing like a quilt, dusty yet downward, insistent. Hummingbird echoes etched air, you know. And before she describes it as etching the air, you don't really think about the air. But as soon as she says it, it's silent until you hear the hummingbirds. And that is a very distinct image and it's one line, but it completely changes the feel of where you are in the piece, which is kind of amazing. There is that, you know, a twill tickling blue skin sensation, scales like black and white days. You know, we all have days like that, you know, when you're torn between the ups and downs, when, you know, depending on, I don't know, the weather even, it can change a mood, and either you're hopeful or you're not, and you can be looking at the same thing and blink your eyes, and you're like, oh, well, you know, it's not that bad, and blink up again, you're like, oh, this sucks, and it's hard to go through, especially if they're bigger things than little frivolities, and when you go back and forth like that, it wears you down, and this kind of reminds me of that feeling, a little worn down, you know, like just that feeling. I don't know. My brain is not coming up with the words. But we too much frond in clemency of virtue, programs of peace, warriors, the gallery of spirit, and doing talent, pitch black, you know, for the greater good. That's what that reads to me. I kind of love the delicate way she puts it. I mean, I could be completely wrong because it has happened, you know, what can I say? I'm imperfect. But that's what that feels like to me. And it's just a lovely way to put that.
Yeah, of course you honed in on the hummingbirds.
Of course. All things are like, what can I say? So there are petitions for me to read on the board, so I suppose I shall. I'm just taking over your show, apparently. If you want to, okay.
You could see it and I can't, so.
Okay, let me open this up. This is hold on a second. I've got weird things.
Wait a minute.
Yes, dear.
Wait a minute. Sky's got 5 minutes. Pretty Bird, we want you to read, please.
That's what I was reading. I'm on the board.
Okay, good. Well, I can't see my board. My computer's all daggy. I just want to make sure. Okay, so I'm reading it. That's twice in one night after my movie.
It's the computer that's skanky. I got you.
Oh, you're so funny. Okay, so I'm going to read. I believe I actually wrote this for one of your It's All Greek to Me shows back in the day. This is Can't pick up that 7-10 split when you're 50-50 down the middle. So it's like this. I'm not stupid. But then again, smart is not a quotient, like beauty is not some algorithm of symmetry, and they most certainly are not mutually exclusive. Maybe they are in the recesses of a mind that puts me into run for my rapier wit. I won't judge, like I won't judge you for not knowing what a rapier is. I am not too pretty to cry, despite what you think is flattering. Pretty, beautiful, gorgeous, stunning, and all I hear is a grating snapping of synapses, losing IQ points, just listening to the perception of beauty making women less than, just so that they're easier to touch. Eternally torn between logic and passion, heart and mind, a 50-50 split down the center of indecision, I ruminate until time is nearly up, and in those moments before the choice is removed, I know. I know quite clearly that logic is how the race is won, slow and steady, respectable, reliable, a safe bet. A good life and plus or minus one, where zero is average day. Passion burns a heart unrecognizable when it fails. Wrong choices birth elation and sorrow too close to approximate or define what love could be. Mistakes. Well, emotions are not mistakes. Joy, however fleeting, is not a mistake, and the price is the possibility of sorrow. So that's life, and plus or minus 100, but there is no baseline. Intuit life crunching logic into hopes for a future and failing more often than not. For I was never meant for complacency. I see the good in logic. Baby steps forward are still forward, but sentient beings cannot think away connections and forge joy in absolute zero. Emotion is irrational. One day, I'll stop trying to rationalize pain and what the odds. One day, I'll accept that chances are worth taking without the torture of overthinking the spaces. One day, will easily give way to the passion that is the blood we live by. One day, but I'm not 50-50 short of indecision.
Who was that, Sky?
No, it was me.
Go ahead, make a comment.
I love this poem. It's one of my absolute favorite Pretty Bird poems. I actually, now that you've read it, I remember this. It was for one of my It's All Greek to Me contests. It was an Ovid piece. Oh my God, it reeks of everything that he was about life and the decisions in life and how, you know, what he wrote about in, like, society hasn't changed from, like, times before Christ to what we're dealing with now, you know, choices about women and how women are treated and involving things like sexism and betrayal and love and many other things that I can't mention on the radio. And
just all kinds of these beautiful things. And it, you just poured your heart in, emotional, irrational, and, you know, logical baby steps and crunching in hopes and future. And I just fell in love with this. And this was before you would talk on the radio. So I just loved this. Yeah, this is what absolutely one of my favorites. Oh, and this was before I even learned how to keep lists. So now this actually can go on one of my lists. Oh, love it.
Yeah, when she mentioned this was the one she was bringing, I kind of smiled too, because I remembered it. I don't know what it is, if it's the bowling reference and I'm a dude, or, you know, it was the rapier wit and the pointing out of the fact,
yeah,
you know, that, well, I mean, she touches on something. She touches on something too that really hits close to home for me too. You know, the unfortunateness of the, you know, the first thing you notice about someone when they walk into a room is what they look like. So you don't know what their personality is like. You know, they could open their mouth and be shallow as a puddle. You don't know until they open their mouth. But, you know, you can see when they walk in. It's like, you know, oh, you know, gorgeous eyes, you know, nice butt, you know, that's just one of those things. So, you know, it, and it's unfortunate to be judged by that. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, if you open your mouth and I can't talk to you, I'm going to lose interest right away. So I really appreciated her mentioning that to begin with. But, I mean, the whole idea, too, of that and the physics of the bowling and whatnot, it's just, you know, it's a beautiful thought and a lovely way to relate to it, because, you know, there's jokes about it that I could tell. Well, I can't tell on the radio, but anyway.
Right.
Bowling balls and gutters. No. Anyway. Sky, can you comment for Pretty Bird?
Yeah, I can. Pretty Bird is just excellent. I was on mute. I didn't realize I was on mute, so I was saying stuff for a long time, you guys, but before I even started reading, and that's why no one was answering me. But this is such a great piece. And I first of all, I hate math, okay? So as much as I hate math, I really enjoy your poem. I love the metaphor, and I love the idea, and there are so many things in here. I am not stupid. Then again, smart, you know, thinking about how we can make decisions and retrospect. Well, was it really stupid, or what were you letting lead, the mind or the heart? And is it really stupid, or is that just the chance that you take, that idea? And then, of course, going down to, I love this section here, pretty beautiful, gorgeous, stunning, and all I hear, the grating, snapping, synapses, losing IQ, just listening to the perception of beauty. And I think that's a really big statement, you know, the perception of beauty, absolutely. So many ideas of, you know, what is beautiful. Is it the face, or is it the personality? It's like Brack was saying, you know, someone can, their beauty on the outside doesn't always match the beauty on the inside, that idea of it. And then, of course, this part too, the eternally torn between logic and passion. You know, how much do you let the mind kind of take over the heart? And that's, I guess, too, where caution comes in. And one thing we do, we're creatures, we learn things. You know, our bodies, you know, if we touch a hot stove, our body remembers that. That's stored away in our memory senses, and when we go near a stove, it warns our body, oh, don't touch. It's hot, and it will hurt, because this is what happened before. And a lot of times that's what happens emotionally when it comes to relationships and passion and love and in interpersonal relationships and past things that have hurt. We start to say, okay, wait a minute, let me gauge, you know, should do I want to make this risk? Do I want to do that? And sometimes that can definitely infringe and make different decisions when it comes to concerning passion or love of the heart. And I like how you kind of went through that. In my opinion, that's why I start kind of, you know, contemplating, especially down here with emotional. Emotion is irrational, and a lot of times it is. I mean, that's why we have filters. Our first emotion, our first reaction isn't always the best one, but it probably is being honest. But we still have to filter through. But then again, sometimes it's important to give people exactly, you know,
what the first reaction is, because sometimes it's needed. And it's a fine line to walk on. Really well done.
Thank you. It's funny because I was sitting here going, there's no math in here, but there is. There's statistics and the plus and minus one bell curve of nonsense, so my bad.
Well, it was good, though. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I really liked the metaphor. I liked where you went with it. I know that I'm saying really a lot, and I'm sorry, but I had a really long day. I spent 30 minutes getting thrown at my head while behind a, like, big, huge mat. So, and that was just, like, 30 minutes of my day. So sorry if I'm really good is a good compliment for me right now. I really loved it.
The other thing comes to mind, you know, decision-wise, and I know Sweet Pea will probably relate to this because it has to do with, you know, business. Sometimes women have to make a decision. Do they want to be seen as a woman or not, you know, because that takes away from their credibility in a lot of forums. You know, people don't think, you know, a woman can do this or that. They've got that preconceived notion. And, you know, so you have to, like, kind of mute your femininity, you know, no curves, no this, no that, you know, low cut blouses. And then, you know, the exact opposite happens sometimes too, you know, like pharmaceutical reps or whatever, they wear the low cut blouse to sell the crap. So it's really crazy. But you know, that ends up at some point, you know, being a decision that you have to make, you know, if you're conscious enough to be aware of it, you know, that's something that you know, you're pushing in one direction or another by making that decision. Do I want to be seen as a woman or not? So, yeah. And I'm sure there's an emotional toll on that too, because, you know, it's got to be hard to suppress that. You know, I'm a woman, damn it. Anyway, I can't relate to that.
I'm a woman, damn it.
Yeah. I'm not, so I can't relate, unfortunately. What do we got next, Pretty Bird? Angel? Did you get dropped
Pretty
again?
Pretty Bird.
We don't know where Pretty Bird is. Birdie. Here, yeah, birdie. Yeah, she got dropped again.
Oh, no. We don't know where Pretty Bird went.
Someone pushed her out of the net.
Oh, no, Pretty Bird.
I'm back. Freaking Blog Talk is a pain in my butt. And the last thing I heard was, you have to choose if you want to be a woman. I can't hide my bosom. I mean, I'm not shy, but I can't hide my bosom.
So nobody's
guys
shy.
Just have to deal with it. I mean, I have had... She's famous. And I have, you know, in business, you know, I mean, obviously you're not going to wear the slinky whore dress that you wear out on a Friday night, but... I mean, boobs aren't going to, I can't flatten them things down for nobody, nor will I, but I will call everybody out as politely and curtly as I can about not looking at my face when I'm talking to them or having to condescend. And don't you dare call me darling because you don't know me that way. And so they learn very quickly to tame their shit. Don't treat me like that secretary you're sleeping with. Because, you know, I have no patience for, you know, misogynistic bullshit.
But I have a male secretary.
Well, then, you know, to each his own.
Well, have fun sleeping with him.
Right? Yeah, don't talk to me like that either. That's true.
And he dresses like a woman. No.
Well, more
you know,
fun for
probably
you.
Probably looks better in some of the... There you go. PG-13.
Yeah, I know.
PG-13.
Well, everybody have fun.
OMG. I did put Angel up if you want to read. Whoever you want to read, I just read, so it's not going to be me.
I guess we got a 50-50 split then. Sky, you want to read before you go?
Yeah, how'd you know I was about to say I'm going to go soon? Okay. See.
Because I can tell time.
I can tell time. Okay. I just like to pre-read. I'm sorry. This is called for my show, my old show, Our Choice by Heavenly Angel. We were enemies. Fight to the death, our mantra. This 21st century total genocide. Many felled by hateful swords, but time passed, time does, and we learn to grow a backbone, or at least give it a try. Emotional clashes forgotten, pushed aside, attempt to live in peaceful existence. Truth is true. The need for each other too great. Decision was made to come together, to weather storms, lives laid on a line. So much at stake. Either make or break, we choose to try to make it. And hope.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thought. I enjoyed that. It's when you think of it like it's a decision and not a compulsion, that adds more meaning to it. To me, it's one of the reasons why, you know, that mechanical response when someone says, you know, I love you, and you know, right away you blurt it back out because it's what you're supposed to say, and it's not because you're feeling it. You know, I can't deal with that, and the whole idea of you're stuck with me. No, I'm not. It's a decision, and it wouldn't be a beautiful thing if I was stuck with you, because that means it's not a decision that I'm making, that I'm here because I have to be. So, you know, that idea is really backwards. You know, you're stuck with me. You know, it almost defies that other expression, you know, you can't choose who you love. I guess there's some truth to that, you know, emotionally, but, you know, time can certainly undo that. So, you know, I thought, you know, she highlighted the beauty of a relationship in a lovely way, you know, like she always does. You read it, Sky. What'd you think?
I thought it was an excellent piece. It was in tribute to the film Enemy Mine, which is one of my favorite films. I just love it. And in the film, just to give a little background, because this is what really is heavy, weighing heavy on our right, is the idea, you know, these people are at war. And, you know, these two enemies get stranded on an island, and not an island, on a planet. And they have to make the decision to team up to survive. They basically have to help each other, even though they're enemies, to survive. And then they end up becoming friends. And then one of them dies, and then the other one raises their son. They're unisex, so there is no he or she. But so I think it's brilliant how she brought this piece today about choices, and how she speaks about I guess. Peace, ultimately, and, you know, choosing to set aside differences and make choices where we can say, okay, we were enemies, let's try to forgive, and let's try to move forward, and let's find a middle ground of peace, which is very prevalent pretty much anytime in society, especially now, but very well done, and I thought it was a great pick. For tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Anybody seen that film here? Enemy Mine?
Yes, I love that movie.
I'm actually picturing the orange-headed dude and the other guy face to face on the cover of the.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
I enjoyed the poem. My mind is drawn to that many felled by hateful swords. And there's something about her verbiage, because you fell a tree, where it's this giant, like you think of the giant, what are they, sequoias? I have no clue. There's giant trees that don't live around where I live, because we have palm trees and they're not giant. that they just are cut down in this big whoosh. And when you think of that as masses of people, it's very, very clear, very stark thought. So I thought that her verbiage there was spot on perfect. I loved this movie. I did not read any book if this was a book. So sorry. But I love this movie. I love so many things about this movie. And so there, that transition, and it's kind of a, I mean, if you're expecting a lot of action, it's not that. The beauty of this piece comes in how they get to know each other, how they are forced to put aside their differences because they're kind of stuck. Yeah, and to the point where he falls in love with his enemy's child that, you know, he gives his life to have, and they go to take him, and so he's fighting for that, and it's all this, you don't have to be blood to be family, and this truth is truth, and the need for each other is too great. The decision was made to come together, and it is absolutely as simplified as it can be for a poem. For such an impactful change in the story, it's beautiful on both counts, both her words and the film itself.
Beautiful comment. And let's see, who does that leave? Sweetie, what are you doing? I'm a dad.
I was out walking my dogs and did not hear that at all. So I'm sorry.
That's all right. You missed a good one. I'm sure you'll go back and catch it, read it, and
I will. And actually, I'm going to have to go take my nebulizer and get out of here. So I apologize, but I am running away from you.
Well, we're close to the end. Yeah,
I really, really apologize.
You don't have to apologize.
Show, guys, real quick before you go.
Oh, my show Thursday night is about the relationship between Paul Dunbar and the Wright brothers. It's very interesting about a time of slavery where three of the greatest people in our history, one, an incredible poet, and two, that invented the airplane, were a bunch of young guys that hung out together in a time when African-Americans and basically two white dudes just didn't hang out. So it was amazing and fun, and I thought it was a great story that we're not taught in history. And hopefully you guys will check it out and really learn about it, because I just think writing poems about that boldness and about that fun would be a really great idea. So things that we don't know, and I think that if you check it out, you might enjoy it. So I think that's something everybody should look into. I really had a good time. So and just FYI, I will soon be resigning from Thursday night show. So more to come about that.
All righty.
All right, guys. I will talk to you all soon. All right.
Good night. Feel better.
Bye. So thanks,
what shows do you have coming up, Sky?
I have my brain is shutting down quickly in small quarters.
I know you have my favorite octopus on next Tuesday. No, that's not next Tuesday. That's months from now. I'll probably months from now. I read all your boards. I'm good. Let me shut up.
Did you? I put them all up. I was like, this gives people 3 months. 3 months to write for my like, somebody better write. That's your favorite octopus?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, so this Saturday I am over at A Poetic Slice of Life, and as it's April, we are celebrating my J.R.R. Tolkien obsession, and we are doing the 1980 Rankin and Bass Return of the King. So it's going to be lots of music, lots of animation, and it's going to be fun, poetry, of course. and you could write to any of the themes, characters, quotes, which means quotes. You can go anywhere you want, even off topic from the topic itself, as long as it's on topic for the quote. And if you can figure that out, then more power to you. And the next time I'm on... The next time I'm on here at A Team of Voices is next month, but I am going to give you a little sneak peek. There's crazy college shrimp. There's, you know, Pretty Bird's favorite octopus, and there's a Yeti crab. That's all you need to know. Go look at them. It's cool. So much.
Shrimp is a superhero.
Oh, my goodness. I just love those videos. I just love watching them. I'm like, this is really cool and interesting.
It's a parrot.
It's a peacock.
Peacock, parrot.
Yeah, you know, both, it's a bird.
I guess they both taste good with sweet and sour sauce. Anyway.
Well, there you go.
you want to do Stephen a plug for... What is it? Friday is Name That Film or something, and Thursday is...
Oh, yeah, I can if you want me to. I can do that. Okay, let's see. Yeah, that's nice to do. Okay, so tomorrow is the Poetic Inklings, and Kay is featuring an artist. Oh, there are some really good art. Why didn't I grab
Cecil.
One of these? Huh?
Cecil.
No, it's not Cecil. She's been doing Agnes Cecil, but this is someone different. This is Betna Baldessari. Yeah, I really love this artist. Go check him out. It's a really cool artwork. I didn't see that. I don't know why, but I'm definitely going to do that. And then the next show after that is The Movement of Sound. And that's on Thursday at 9 p.m. And that, of course, is, I think it's Roy Orbison. Yeah. And then, yeah, so go check it out. And then on Friday, something different with a request is, it is Name That Film. So that's always my favorite show. There's no poems. Just call, and they're going to play clips of movies, and then you guess it, and then you get points. Steven usually always beats me, but it's fine. We can still have fun.
Well, he's running it on Friday, right? So he won't be participating to beat you.
But I never win because he puts a lot of comedy clips, and apparently I'm not a funny person, and I don't watch a lot of comedy. So he's like, sorry, Sky, this is another comedy clip. You probably haven't seen this film. I'm like, probably not. I just like Disney and Death and Despair. You know, that's it. I'm totally out.
Disney, Death and Despair. That sounds like a thing.
Well, there you go. And I think that except for Sweet, there's nothing on Friday on A Team of Voices that I can see on the board, but Saturday on a Think Tank, it's all about bats. And it can be flying bats, baseball bats, whatever you think bats are. It can be batshit crazy. We're good. So there is that.
I'm sorry. You're funny. I need to go take some melatonin. I'll see you guys later. Bring myself down.
All right. Good night.
Nice guy.
Bye.
So it is
you and me.
Yeah. And we are 20 minutes out. So but what can we say about choices? I mean, there's a lot of things to be said. Lord knows I am literally a 50-50 split down the middle, I think, on one personality test. That was 49-51, which doesn't help me any. So I can never even make a choice to save my life because my heart's like, I really want this. And your brain's like, because you're a moron. And so, you know. But usually my mind in particular is I'm very logically based. And so I am like, well, if this and this, and then but my heart's like, but I need this now. And so I tend to do what I think is the better choice, but then I miss out. But every time I choose my heart, I'm the idiot. So I can't win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it feels like it's set up like that because you try and apply logic to make a decision, a quote-unquote rational decision rather than an emotional one, and then you end up feeling like, you know, you got robbed or there's always that question, that wonder, like, you know, the what if, you know, and there's people that, you know, they can't live their lives always wondering, and some of them manage to actually circle back so that they have another chance to find out, you know, and find out the answer to that kind of what if. But, you know, that still leaves the what if. Well, what if this happened earlier? Or what if, you know,
well,
anyway.
I have a problem with those particular types of what if because, and I get that if it's meant to be, eventually it will. You know, it will find a way at some point in this life or the next one, whatever. But you can't ever find out a true what if in any kind of interpersonal relationship, because whatever pulled you apart, whatever it is, whoever, if somebody left, you cannot get that trust back. It will never be that same innocent full-on. You have to earn it. There's this, there's that, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. That pain will always have scarred and will never be fresh skin again. And can you work through it, get past it, never think about it? Yeah. But then it sneaks up at a trigger points in unfortunate places and causes you the same pain. Well, if you're me, it does, because apparently I'm a glutton for not anything good, but, you know, and it sucks because it weighs, and you work through. You choose to fight for what you think is good. And that fight is an uphill battle of scraped knees and self-loathing.
Well, the other thought behind that, too, is you can try and forget, but you can't make, that's not a choice that you can make. You know, the memory isn't the memory. You could try and do things to forget and ignore it or whatever, but, you know, there's always going to be something that brings you back to that place, I think. You know,
unless you're one of those like robots that can compartmentalize, because I know people like that. They're like, no, I just don't think about it. And I'm just like, what the hell's wrong with you? You are not a person. Your brain is broken.
yeah, there's that. Oh, man. Oh.
It's like, but, you know, you should be able to compartmentalize partially, or because if we couldn't do that, then there would be no focusing on any one task. So the ability is there, but that long-term wherewithal, whatever, you know. And why is it that we always forget the things we want to remember and remember the things we want to forget? Do we train our minds that way? Do we think about it and be like, I can't think about this anymore, but we thought about it so much, it's kind of like a ghost image on your head, ready at the blink of an eye to pop back in full force? For the things that we think we'll never forget or we want to remember, we don't focus on as much. We tuck them away to keep them safe, and then they fade. I mean, that's what makes sense to my brain, because I'm a little broken myself.
Tell me
at least it makes sense and I don't sound crazy.
No, you don't sound crazy at all. But then, you know, I'm batshit crazy to begin with, so.
Well, get out of those caves. What am I good for you?
I guess that means that I can identify crazy better than some, because, you know, it's my wheelhouse.
It's funny because everybody's like, this is out of my comfort zone. That is out of, I don't have a comfort zone. Everything is equally awkward. So I guess everything is equally comfortable as well, which is not, but, you know, awkwardness is my comfort zone.
Yeah, I kind of equate that to being, you know, a devil's advocate and curious. You know, it's not that you're going to agree, but you want to understand. And, you know, that involves explaining and kind of being unemotional about it and just looking at it from, you know, okay, help me, you know, explain this to me in a way that makes sense. You know, it's not, you know, how did you arrive at that spot? You don't have to agree, but you could see how, okay, this happened, so I thought this. You know, someone could tell you, well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Now, that's not something that, you know, you agree with, because no matter what, it's going to end up hurting you. But, you know, at the same time, you understand why they might think that was a good idea at the time. So, you know, I can understand why you would do that, but that doesn't mean that I can, you know, forgive it, appreciate it, whatever. You know, it's a really complicated thing, but again,
I'm so sorry. I just came back. It kicked me off. So I love that there was no dead air, but I didn't hear you.
That's okay. I don't even remember what I was talking about. I was going on about, you know, and the emotional decisions that people make sometimes, you know, the things you want to push away. You know, and it's one that I know is near and dear to you. You know, when someone does something and they say, you know, I didn't want to hurt your feelings or something like that. There's no.
Oh,
like,
do
not
spare me your nonsense. You just don't want to deal with your shame. Be honest, for Pete's sake. That's what that is. And by your nonsense, I mean the people that are trying to smooth things over and not tell me crap. I feel some kind of way about that, as you well know. I cannot make decisions if I don't have all the information. And you keeping your lies to yourself means that you're not trusting me enough to love you through your broken mistakes. And that feels like crap. And I don't think people ever see it that way. They're like, they're going to leave or they're going to hate me. It'll never be the same again. I did a bad thing. You know what? We'll pretend it didn't happen. She'll never know. And whatever it is, just be honest. Be remorseful. Be, you know, as long as it's honest, don't fake that crap. But tell me, be like, this is a situation. I'm not sure why it happened. I don't know what came over me, whatever it was. And I didn't mean to hurt you, but you did, and I appreciate you telling me. Now get out of my face for a minute and let me process, but don't go doing anything else stupid till I'm done processing so that we can have a conversation, because you can't lay a bunch of naked truth on somebody that you know is going to hurt them and then expect them to just be like, I forgive you. They need to process their pain.
Yeah.
But you know, trust somebody to be able to make a choice. And if they cannot forgive the bad thing or work through the bad thing, well, those are the consequences of your own actions. You know, live with it. And it's a hard thing for people. And I understand why it's difficult for people. But it's not difficult for me. I cannot live with untruths. I cannot live with, and maybe that makes me a little mental, and that's okay if it does. But I work better black, white, right, wrong, yes, no. I mean, I do shades of gray because I live in this universe of grayness. But if I am dealing with you, I want the truth, nothing but the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I don't need you to color it for me. I don't need you to skew it sideways. I need you to look all the skinny and let me go through it and see what I feel. It warrants an emotional reaction or not. And this is the problem with choices. You know, when you have a choice, when you think you have a choice, that to me is indicative of the time to make that choice. It means there's contemplation, even if it's a little bit, 5 seconds of, yes, choose door number one, you know, whatever. But when you are pissed off, there is no choosing. You react, and that, how is that then a choice when a choice is indicative of thought?
Well, I was going to say that the flip side of choices is consequences, because you know, once someone makes whatever choice they make, they have to live with the consequences of that choice. So
it's that part of the thought of the choice making process. You pros cons. If you are going to steal food to feed your child, and you might go to jail and leave your child parentless if you're a single mom and they have no place to go, well, you got to do what you got to do. You have to make these decisions.
Right.
You know, you make sure your kid has a place to go, and then you go steal the food, you know, because your kid's got to eat. And I get that.
You're choosing between letting your child starve and going to jail. So, you know, that's part of that same choice.
Exactly.
Choosing, you know,
and
choosing to steal means you're also choosing between possibly getting caught and going to jail and having the kid taken away from you to begin with, because, you know, there's no one, you know, it's really, you know, a whole wave of cause and effect.
Well, let's put it on a lighter scale. Say my teenager wants to sneak out. Well, if I tell you no and you're going to go and do it anyway, and you can't really complain if you can't go anywhere or you have extra chores or I just full on, you know, hide your computer, because you no longer have the right to say you want things because you chose to defy me. And it takes a lot. for me to say, no, you can't go somewhere, because they don't do much anyway. They're good kids. So so if they have, if their grades aren't up or they haven't done whatever, it's like, in order for you to do that, you need to finish this stuff over here, you know. And if they choose to finish this and then go over there, fine. If they choose not to finish it and just finish this and so they don't go, well, that's on them, because I gave them the option. This is what you have to do to go. And so they can't blame me. Because I was like, you did it to yourself. And I do that all the time, because I always try to give them a choice between this sucks and this sucks a little less, you know?
That brings out the other thought that I know makes people bristle. I want to say you in particular. It's easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Oh, for Pete's sake, that broad logic gets me. I cannot. I was like, if you know you're going to need to ask forgiveness, you knew that it was wrong to begin with, you shouldn't do it, period. And unless you are my child or in my charge, I don't have to give anybody permission. Make your own damn choices. And the problem is, when I was running like the Cub Scouts or was with Boy Scouts with my kids, there was a leader that really worked that way. You do what you got to do and apologize later. I was like, that is absolutely, like, goes against, like, the entire, you know, scout law, you know? That's not how that works. Like, if you need to ask for forgiveness, or if you know you're not going to get permission, then you should not be doing it. Will people forgive you afterwards? Probably, but that likelihood, it's not how you make your choices. You do the right thing. And I'm very big. Yeah. I'm doing the right thing. Am I a perfect person? Yeah. Hell no. Do I make bad decisions? Absolutely. Am I thoughtless? Not on purpose, but all the time. And because, you know, I am a flawed person. We are imperfect. It is part of our nature. The thing is, if you don't set out to do bad things, you don't do things that you know are going to cause people, you know, pain or stress or anxiety or whatever. You don't set out to hurt anybody. That's the best you can do. But that whole, you know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness means that you're going to hurt somebody and you think it's okay, because they're going to they'll tell you it's okay afterwards. And that's like, I don't understand white lies.
Well, the thing about that statement too is you're almost admitting that you knew it was wrong, because you're already
exactly
implying, well, if I'm going to have to ask forgiveness, well, you know, that means you knew beforehand. So, you know,
that doesn't fly with me. I was like, no, I do not forgive you for choosing to hurt me to do what you want to do. You could have just been like, I want to do this. And I would have been like, whatever. And if I would have said, because again, I don't stop people from doing what they want to do, because God forbid somebody tries to stop me from doing what I want to do, I will not take kindly to it. So I am very lenient. You know, if this is what you want to do, go do it. If it is something that is going to make me not trust a person or hurt a friendship or a relationship, and they think that they're going to come back and ask for forgiveness, I'm going to have to be forced to ask questions that I know the answer to, like, and when did this cross your mind? Was it before you chose to be an idiot? Because then I mean nothing and you're full of crap. Otherwise, you say, like, listen, I know that you're not keen on me doing this, but this is something that I've been looking forward to. So this is where I'm going to be. You know, call me if you need me. I'm like, all right, whatever, jerk. And then we have a conversation, and at least they were honest. And I will always respect honesty over everything. There are people that were complete, just vile humans to me, but they never lied to me, not once. And I don't hate anybody anyway. I am just, I'm too lazy to care that much. But
it takes too much.
It really does. Somebody never lies to me, even if they're an honest asshole. Well, okay, I can respect your assiness, because that's kind of who you are or who you were at the time. I don't have any trust issues with you. I mean, I'm not going to be your best friend, and you know, I'm not an idiot, but right. I should absolutely be friendly and be honestly friendly, because they never lied to me. There's no broken trust. There's none of that. And I can be, I can know somebody for 20 years. And if there's somebody that was ever close to me, as soon as they lied to me, as soon as I know, and it's stupid things like they get off the phone with me and to tell me that they're going to sleep. And then all their crap on Facebook is timestamped for the next 3 hours, like they're up on their phone because it says whatever. Well, then if you don't want to talk to me, don't talk to me. If I am tedious, I am tedious. Like, listen, I'm just going to, like, try to numb my brain on Facebook. I'm like, all right, good night. What am I going to do? Just be like, no, I need to talk to you right now. Just don't lie to me, because then I can't trust you. You're going to lie to me about something stupid. I mean,
well,
then you lie to me about anything.
That's a hard subject to talk about, too, because I could intend to go to sleep and then get sucked into something stupid on Facebook that, you know, turns into a three-hour bullshit. You know, it's like I really meant to go to sleep. I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm trying to, but, you know, whatever happened, you know, I couldn't walk away from for whatever reason.
Yeah, no, because if I find myself up after, and I know who I'm talking to isn't going to be sleeping, and I find myself up and they were looking forward to talking to me and I get off the phone, I'll be like, I can't sleep, but I'm still trying. I just got off Facebook. Sweet dream. Because I'm also the person that says that you know, if I drive away from somebody's house when I get home, I'm like, home safe, love you, good night. You know, just because it's the polite thing to do, because I wouldn't want to know, you know, and I don't expect people to do all the things that I would do, because I'm a little, you know,
right,
peculiar or both, but there are choices, and when you choose to brush somebody off, or you choose to not call or not message, or you choose to ignore a poem that somebody wrote for you, or you choose all of these things and then you don't acknowledge them, that really
if
a relationship, a friendship.
If we're hanging out on the phone and having, you know, a conversation or whatever, and I'm like, listen, I'm starting to fall out, I need to go to sleep, and then all of a sudden I get a message saying so-and-so got fired, you know, that's something you can get sucked into and talk about, you know.
Absolutely.
I intended to.
Absolutely.
I hung up with you because I was going to go to sleep, but,
yeah,
you know,
that's,
I got sucked into.
Dude, I do that all the time. I have all these intentions, and 3 hours later, my mind goes elsewhere, and I understand that.
Right.
I also, if you're, like, falling asleep, I don't question anything. But if you're falling asleep and then you're all over the board on three different groups, all laughing it up, yucking it up, and making jokes, obviously you're not that tired.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So it's different if you like something on Facebook than if you're having an argument in the comments of a meme from people you don't know. You know what I mean? There's like gradients. There's, you know, don't be all like, I don't want to talk to you, because I'll actually take that to mean that you don't ever want to talk to me again, because I'll be like all butthurt and heartbroken and over melodramatic and whatnot. You know, just be like, I just cannot behold this moment any longer. I am exhausted. And I'll probably just like numb my brain on Facebook or put something on for to fall asleep to or stuff tonight. I kind of overshare a lot. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but I talk out of, you know, orifices that don't necessarily are not made for speaking. But yeah, so there's all these things. Every choice has consequences. You can't get mad if I'm hurt that you're everywhere that I didn't expect to find you. I wasn't looking for you. You just happened to be there because, you know, I wasn't going to sleep for the next 5 hours. And I'll be like, well, I thought you were going to sleep. They're like, yeah, I am. No, well, obviously, this is 2 hours later, and you didn't, and all right, and you see me on here with little stupid green dots, but whatever. I hate Facebook. Facebook makes people crazy.
It does.
But, yeah, it's the choices. Just be honest. Be like, yeah, I'm tired. I think I'm just going to try to numb my brain and whatever, and I'm going to try to sleep. And that's fine. I don't actually check up on people. Like I said, I'm lazy. You know,
right.
just be honest, and everybody sidetracked and pulled whatever, but I fully expect that the next time we talk, we're like, I got sucked into this vortex of crap, you know, I didn't even get to, you know,
yeah.
I don't expect it to be on the phone for an hour and be like, so you were all over the place the other day. because then it looks like I'm stalking. And, you know, but so I, you know, it's, you know, it's just, it's, you have to gauge the relationship in people, obviously. But how many times do you think you get blown off in the same way with no apologies and no consideration before you realize that you just don't matter? You know? It sucks. So there are consequences, and people want to know, well, we're not as close as we used to be. Well, you stopped talking to me. You know, how long can you expect somebody to chase you down?
And people choose to ignore that and keep them in their lives. You know, that's another choice, a bad one, or a damaging one, self-destructive one. You know,
I know that very, very well, and I am very much I self-isolate. I will listen to everybody's whatever. It is not a burden to me if you need to get something off your chest.